In 1 Corinthians 3:18, we read about the wisdom of the world. But it does not, it will not make a believer wise in the things of God. As believers, we must seek the mind of God in the Word of God for His wisdom. And when we look at life from God's point of view, the world will look at us as fools. They believe we're foolish to believe all that is written in the Bible. They can't wrap their minds around the fact that there are those who believe the creation story, that the sun and the moon stood still for Joshua, that Jesus came down from heaven's glory and was born of a virgin, and that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. They think we are wasting our time living for things eternal and believing this world is not our home. They think we're of fools not to partake in the riotous living, but that we actually enjoy living righteously. To the world, spending time in prayer, going to church, singing the hymns, listening to preaching, tithing, and thinking Christ is returning for us is as foolish as one can get. They think we believers are crippled above the neck, that the cheese has fallen out of our sandwich, and we are a few bricks shy of a full load. They look down upon us as ignorant, dull of mind, and in dire need of being enlightened. For their modern thought cannot conceive that there are still those who hold to the truths found in the tried, tested, timeless Word of God. While the world looks upon us as fools for Christ's sake, God mentions several fools in His Word. Number one, there is the atheistic fool. Now, there has been some bright, very intellectual atheists, but they're fools in the sight of God. They are spoken of in Psalm 14, verse 1 through 4, where we read, the fool, the what? Fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? Now there are a great many people that take this position, that there is no God. And then they imagine themselves to be very wise. But the Bible doesn't mince words concerning those who deny God's existence. For it says they are fools. Now they may be scientists. They may obtain intellectual achievements unknown by most. They may run successful businesses and have become extremely wealthy, or even be one who is clever and quite witty. Yet every God denier is nothing more than a fool. There are three basic words for fool in the Hebrew language. That's the language God used for the Old Testament. And kezel means the dull, stupid fool. Ewile is the unreasonable, perverted fool. And Nabal is the brutish person who is like a stubborn animal. Nabal is the word that is used here to describe those who say there is no God. An atheist doesn't lack normal intelligence. They have a moral problem in the heart. And they don't want to be accountable to God for what they have done. And to solve that issue, they simply deny that God exists. They are often self-righteous. They want to live their own lives as they please. They, in all reality, have become their own gods. And so they need no other. And they suffer the sad consequences for doing so. It warps their character. It leads to bad conduct. By leaving God out of their lives, they become corrupt in their heart. their mind and their will. And the word corrupt in this portion of Scripture means rotten, putrid, and decayed. Just imagine anyone with any common sense at all going out after dark and looking up at the starry heaven and then saying there is no God. How can anyone look at everything that is in order here upon this earth and realize it is not everything here is designed by God? Now the wise in heart know there is a God, and he speaks through creation in his word. Those who deny the existence of God may pride themselves on their intelligence or understanding of things that they have been taught, but God calls them a fool. And that's exactly what they are. Number two, there is an ignorant fool. An ignorant fool. Now, Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, the ignorant fool is a first cousin to the atheistic fool. God has spoken in his word. He gives us instruction for living in this blessed book. And he warns of judgment to come. But it is all for naught to the ignorant fool. He tells us of the way of salvation. And you know what these ignorant fools say? They say, "Well, I just don't believe it." They certainly are other ways to go to heaven. I remember coming across a guy years ago, and he says, "You know what, there's not just one way to go to heaven. There's plenty of ways to go to heaven." He says, "You know what, it's like going up to the top of Pike's Peak. There's several ways to get to the top." And I said, "You know what, you're right. There are several ways that are available to get to the top of Pike's Peak." I said, "But there's only one way to go to heaven. And we're talking about heaven and not going to the top of Pike's Peak." Some will say the Bible was written by men. It was penned down by men, but it was inspired by God himself. Some will say, "Well, it contains many errors." And when they say that, you know what I like to do? I like to give them a copy of mine. I say, "Well, if it contains many errors, certainly you can show me one." Not once have they ever taken me up on that offer. Some say, "Well, I don't understand it. And furthermore, I disagree with what I do understand. It doesn't make any sense to me." While they do not deny the existence of God, they know they do not take heed at what he says. These fools are what God calls fools. You say, "Preacher, Jesus has told us not to call someone a fool." In Matthew 5:22, he says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Listen, I wouldn't dare use the name fool for those who would say, "I know what the Bible says, but..." Or, "I don't want to hear what the scriptures teach." Or get upset when the preacher brings a message on a topic that you've already made up your mind on and don't want it changed. Because why change your mind when the facts are being delivered? People don't want to be convinced with the truth at times. I'm simply telling you what God says about you. He says those that despise his word, dismiss what he says, or to disagree with it, lack wisdom. They do without instruction. And they are... See, you guys call them that, not me. Number three, then there's the opinionated fool. The opinionated fool. Proverbs 12:15 tells us, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is what? Wise." This type of fool stays in the same family as the ignorant fool who refuses to learn anything because they're not teachable. They're not willing to listen. and they happen to be the only one who is right. Everybody else happens to be wrong. The opinionated fool shuts her eyes to the great realities of God's word. I remember years ago being with a Christian brother who told me that he only prays one time for something. And if God doesn't answer it, it's not God's will to grant what he requested. I said, so what do you do with Jesus' teaching on the prayer at midnight? When the friend came and knocked on the door. And he kept on asking, he kept on seeking, he kept on knocking. I said, he didn't ask one time. He asked numerous times. And finally he got what he came for. And does not Jesus tell us about importunate prayer? That means we're supposed to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking until we get what we came for. And what do you do with a prayer without pray without ceasing? I said, do you think it was wrong for the Apostle Paul to pray three times for the Lord to remove the thorn? And at the third time, that's when God what? Answered. I said, was it wrong for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray three times, not my will, but thine be done? And after the third time is when he was heard and he was answered and the angel came and strengthened him. I said, was that wrong? Was it wrong for the widow woman that Jesus illustrated to keep going to the judge and saying, avenge me of my adversary, until he finally gave her what he requested or what she requested? I said, was that wrong? He says, well, I don't believe what you're saying. I said, well, it happens to be in the scriptures. You know what happened? He's an opinionated fool. You know, there's people like that I've come across in my ministry time and time again. I remember one time a guy I was hunting with, and he happened to be another pastor. And, of course, you know, some of those guys are just hard-headed. Stubborn. And so we were talking about the fullness of the Spirit, and I said, you know, that's not a one-time thing. He says, yes, it is. And I'm like, no, it's not. He says, yes, it is. I said, no, it's not. I said, you read about the apostles getting filled time and time again. I said, don't tell me it's a one-time deal. Well, that's what I believe. And I said, you know what? You have your right to be wrong. It's like some folks here. They disagree with some of the things I preach on, but they can't tell me where I'm wrong. Well, that's what I believe. Well, I don't care what you believe. I care what God's word says. But those folks are opinionated fools. Then number four, we read of the mocking fool. The mocking fool. Proverbs 14:9 tells us, fools make a mock at sin. Do you know anyone like that? You know, I've told people that the wages of sin is death, and that if they die without Christ, they'll burn in hell's fire. Some have told me, well, that's where I want to go. My friends are all going to be there. We're going to have one big party. And I always tell them, say, you haven't heard, have you? Heard what? I said, the party in hell has been canceled due to the fire. One person told me recently, well, you know I like warmer climates. How many revel in their iniquity as if sin were sin no longer and its wages will no longer be paid? How many teens refuse to heed God's warning against sin and, like the prodigal, head off to the far country? How many have broken their godly parents' hearts who did their best to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, only to be rebellious and partake in the pleasures of sin, which lasts for a season? How many mock at sin? Nothing seems to be sacred anymore. So much of what is pure and holy is ridiculed. They laugh at people keeping themselves pure for marriage. They laugh at those who are doing their best to live for the Lord. They call us names. And these scoffers fail to realize there is a payday someday, and they will reap what they have sown. They may think they're funny, that they are getting away with what they're doing, but God is letting us know they are simply revealing what is in their hearts, and it's being manifested that they are fools. Number five, God mentions a slandering fool. A slandering fool. Proverbs 10:18 reads as follows. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a what? Fool. Now I find it rather amusing that Proverbs is numbered amongst the wisdom books of the Bible, and yet it tells us about so many various fools. This fool strikes the heart of all who are present. For I fear we know this fool all too well as we take a look at ourselves in the mirror. We all know it's not the Christian thing to make a false statement that damages a person's reputation or repeat it to someone else. Yet it does not seem to stop our tongues from wagging. Many a marriage, family and friendship and sweet fellowship in a church has suffered much damage because of one slanderous tongue. Those who pass on an evil story about another malign their character, seek to ruin their reputation, and they poison the person they are speaking to. Nothing is opened by mistake more than the mouth. And long ago the psalmist prayed, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Folks, there is so much bad in the best of us, so much good in the worst of us, that it doesn't behoove any of us to talk about the rest of us for doing so marks one as a fool. Number six, God speaks about the unbelieving fool. The unbelieving fool. In Luke chapter 24, verse 25 and 26, it is written, then he, speaking of Jesus, said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now in this instance, our blessed Lord is talking to believers. Two of his disciples are on the road to Emmaus, and there's discussion about what is written in the Word of God. Now, there are believers who read the Word and yet refuse to believe it. They don't even have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed. They go around with the thought, can God, instead of God can and God will. In their unbelief, they think it's too hard for the Lord, and he's only capable of doing the possible. Some doubt the fact that they have eternal life. Some doubt that he's coming again at any moment. If we really believe that, would that not change our life? Some doubt that he's capable of saying the worst amongst us. Every now and then someone sicks me on somebody. Says, preacher, I want you to witness to them. I know they're not going to get saved. They say that. And I think to myself, well, then why should I waste my time? But I go. And I've seen some of them get saved. Our unbelief is what is written about our Lord designates one as a fool. Number 7, God tells us of the covetous fool. In Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 20, Jesus says, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" You know what? Sounds to me like many a Christian's retirement plan. "But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?' Then he ends his parable with these words, 'So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" So the Lord tells us that one who lives their life for the things of this world and what it has to offer, and is not concerned about eternal things, and makes an effort to use what God has given them for the good of others and the glory of God, if they do not do that, they're a fool. It's a tragedy you see people who keep and make riches in this world and are poor in the next, for they have no plans for what lies beyond this life. Somewhat like the bumper sticker I used to see, used to be more popular years ago: "He who dies with the most toys wins." No, he who dies with the most toys and doesn't lay up things in heaven is a fool. There's a story about a king. He had a court jester, and he was quite a funny fellow. Well, one day the king had him entertaining him for a while, and he handed him his scepter. And he told him to keep the scepter until he found a bigger fool than himself. And when he found a bigger fool than himself, hand on that scepter to him. Years went by. The day came when the king was dying. And he sent for the jester one last time. The foolish jester grabbed the scepter and went to see the king. When he had come into the king's presence, the king said, "Fool, I'm going on a long journey, and I shall not return. And I called you here to say goodbye." The fool said to the king, "I suppose you've made preparations. I suppose you know how to get to your desired destination, do you not, king?" "No," said the king, "I've been too busy. I haven't taken the opportunity or been inclined to pay attention to life beyond this one, so I haven't prepared for it. I really don't know where I'm going." The fool looked at him for a moment, then handed the king back his scepter and said, "Take it. I have kept it until I found a bigger fool than myself." How foolish one is when they only live for this world, with no thought of where they will spend eternity. It is sheer folly to be indifferent about one's eternal soul. I've been out soul winning. And when I've asked people if I could show them from the Bible how they could know for sure they're going to heaven, you know a frequent response I get? "I'm busy right now." Some are busy cleaning, vacuuming their rugs. Others working on their cars. And some watching TV. Now these folks are putting off eternal matters for things of little or no importance. If their life ends prior to them taking the time to hear the gospel and receive Christ as Savior, they too will hear the words, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Hell is populated with souls that neglected to hear and receive the gospel. They kept putting it off until it was too late. This life consumed them, and time to them was more important than when time shall be no more. They fail to heed what is written in 2 Corinthians 6:2, which says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow may never come. If one is to get to heaven, they best get saved today while they can." God has provided a full, free salvation for everyone who places their faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He's the only way to go to heaven. So don't be so foolish as to not receive his free gift of salvation. No one should delay in making a decision for Christ because it's absolute foolishness to do so. Then lastly, there are fools for Christ's sake. Fools for Christ's sake. In 1 Corinthians 4:10, we read the phrase, "We are fools for what? Christ's sake." Then it is written in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." The Apostle Paul says, "That which we believe for our soul's salvation, the world counts as folly. Yet it is surely wise to be identified with Jesus Christ, no matter what the world thinks of him, as he alone prepares us for the city whose builder and maker is God." We saints should be willing to be the very offscouring of the earth because we have turned to Christ, whose precious blood alone can save. Then because we are saved, we ought to so live for him that we are the salt and light that we should be. We ought to give him preeminence in our lives. We should so love him that it shows by our obedience to his commands. And when others come across our paths, they should notice that we have been with Jesus. In the eyes of the world, they will think we are fools. But in God's eyes, he sees that we've been wise unto salvation and we show forth wisdom because we hear and obey what thus saith the Lord. Let's face this honestly. Are you one of the devil's fools? Have you been fooling yourself? Maybe you're not saved. What a foolish thing to leave this church this morning without knowing Christ as your Savior. If you are saved, are you living for Jesus as you should? Do others think you are a fool for Christ? Or are you just foolish because you don't do as he tells you to do? You know, living for Christ, once you're saved, it's the wise thing to do. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.